Well, the new birth is a must.
Glory to God.
The new birth is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Hallelujah. You get born again, changes your life. And there's nothing else that can do, you know, no matter how you try to, you know, turn over a new leaf. Now, people will go, you know, I imagine this year, I don't know what people are going to do about coming up with the new year, you know, turning over a new leaf. I mean, most people are just, you know, everybody goes, well, it's back to normal. There's one thing is, you know, really, not, and people don't like to hear it, but the normal is changing. Because sin amongst the sinners is getting worse. You know, just was normal. What was normal when I was 50 ain't normal. In the 50s isn't normal what today. What's normal and people accept today. You know, we're living in a really strange time. I heard some things. They were giving statistics on survey stuff about the condition. See, this is one of the things is, you know, God wants to move, but He's having a very hard time trying to move in Christianity, because Christianity in America is a mess. You know, I was listening to some of the statistics in denominations and different groups. Like, you know, with the homosexuality thing, it's like, you know, some of them, like, you know, 66% of them in certain groups accept, you know, homosexuality. They think it's all right. You know, and one of the things that was quite startling was this statistic was the fact that when they did surveyed all Americans across the board, 50% of Americans, you know, felt that homosexuality was okay. But in the church world, it's higher. More of the church believes homosexuality is okay than the general population. You see, people today don't understand the condition of the American church. You know, when you get over, I mean, they had like, in among the Baptists that they surveyed, about 40% of them believed that Muslims and even atheists will end up in heaven. See, now to us that seems crazy. But how did it end up like this? How did it get to this place? How did it do it? Well, because the gospel's been changed. The message preached has been changed and the message believed has been changed. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen. You know, back in the 70s they had homosexual professors in the, seminary in Lancaster, back in the 70s. See, they're saying today, and see, that was for the Methodist and I guess it was the Church of Christ seminary who they put them out there. So when these people come today and saying these groups are accepting this stuff, this has not, they have been doing this behind people's backs for years. See, we're dealing with the problem in stuff, and everybody acts like this stuff just happened. It didn't just happen. The devil slowly works in and he changes the message. You know, people date, well, the message of grace, you know, changed. Well, you know, grace, you don't have church now. You know, it came to the point that, you know, that grace, you don't have to, if you do wrong, you don't even have to admit it anymore or have to repent of it because God just forgives everybody. Everybody's forgiven automatically. So you don't have to. 1 John 1:9 is for the church. Well, that's an impossibility. The church don't get saved confessing their sin. You can't get saved confessing your sin. You get saved confessing Christ. It's an impossibility at 1 John 1:9 for the sinner. What would it good for the sinner to confess his sin? Doesn't do him any good. He stays in the same condition he's in. He has to receive Christ. And when we get over it, see, you get this stuff. Slowly over time, things have been changed and the message has been changed and it's been perverted and people have accepted it. I am just totally amazed because I do this sometimes. I listen, like when I'm out running errands, I'll turn on my Christian radio stations and I'll listen to what's being preached. And I am sometimes shocked at things that are said. And I mean, these are people that believe in being born again, but they'll say certain things. And I think, where did they get that? They didn't get it from the Bible. But see, people take things that are said. And it's like I had said before when in the beginning, we opened up. I am so glad that I listened and I took to heart what Kenneth Hagin said. You know, go read the Bible for yourself and make sure it says it. There is much, much today preached in all groups that people don't examine to see if it's true. Because it sounds good and we would like it to be that way, we accept it. And there's certain things we don't accept. You know, the positive group, there's things that they consider negative in the Bible that isn't negative. It's just the truth. You know? You know, you play in the street long enough, you probably might get hit. You know, it's just the truth. I'm not speaking negative. See, the guy that takes it and believes it's negative, he's already in left field. He's already messed up. Because he's rejecting warning that can save his life. He's rejecting what's good. You know, there's things in the Bible that it says that people don't like to hear, but it protects us. There's lines that tells us not to cross. He's not being negative. Freedom is not being able to do what you want. Doing what you want ain't going to do nothing but get you in trouble. Haven't you noticed? Look, I lived doing what I wanted to do. Life didn't turn out very well. You know, we call that freedom. Freedom for us as Christians is freedom from sin. Freedom not to sin, not to do wrong. As a sinner, you don't have that freedom. Because your nature was sin. So you always gravitated toward that. You know, you always said, well, you know, I'm going to quit doing that. And then the next day you were going to quit doing that. And then the next day you were going to quit doing that. And then the next day. And then one day you didn't do it. And you say, man, I'm really doing great. And the next day you did it twice. Been there, done that? Have you been around that? At turning over that new leaf? No. Hallelujah. This is the wonder and the grace of God through salvation in Jesus Christ. See, men must be born again. And we want to talk about that today. We're going to talk about in the areas of praying for people. There's some things going into this that, you know, we were talking about, in fact, we did a music here. We sang a song, "This is the day the Lord has made." A lot of people think that he's talking about, well, like today the sun come up. That is not what the scripture is talking about concerning that. It isn't about the day, a physical day. It's talking about the day of salvation. You go read what's talked about, the day of salvation. We're living in that day, the fulfillment of those scriptures. The day of salvation started when Jesus was raised from the dead. That's the day God has made. Right now, we're living in that day. You know, we're only in the second day of it. According to God, 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. And so we're 2,000 years past and we're a little bit past that. And well, so 2 days, we're only entering into the third day of it. Which we know this, the Bible tells us concerning the third day, we're going to be with Him. So being with Him is getting awful close. Hallelujah. But right now, the day of salvation is here. You know the day of salvation is going to end? The day of salvation will end. The door will close on the day of salvation. It's the day it shuts. So, but right now, we're living in the day of salvation. And we should want people to be saved. That should be our desire. And so, we want to look at these things because we're going to talk about things that we need to do. The scripture tells us. Now, there's one thing that you, from a standpoint, we need to understand about prayer. Many times, people are just trying to use one tool to do a job. And lots of times, like say, so it's like being a carpenter. You can't build a house with a saw. Now, you might need a saw, but you can't build a house, and you can't build a house with a hammer. Now, a hammer and a saw, you got two good things there, but you're going to need other tools than that to build a house. In other words, there's things. Well, we need to know about the kingdom of God. See, lots of times, you know, people are doing prayer. Look, prayer is wonderful, and prayer has its place. But there's other things needed if we want to bring people to salvation. If we want to see people born again, there's certain things that we need to do. And we want to look at that. As one and when we pray, we need to, there's certain things that need to be prayed. And there are certain things that need to be done. So it's the two of them. You know, we're workers together with God. One of the things that we have is a lot of people, you know, get over the things of, well, you know, we're going to pray people into the kingdom. Well, no, you don't pray people into the kingdom. You can pray which will help people come to the kingdom, but there's other things that have to be done for that person to enter. And also, too, the person, you can't pray and override a person's will. You can't override their will. If you could do that, if you could pray, people say, well, we're going to pray them into the kingdom. I hear people say that stuff, and I think, what do they mean by that? Is that person not going to have any choice? They're not going to have a choice in the thing. Well, if people get a choice, God has to give people choice. It's a must. If I found out that God ain't giving some people choice to just take them in the kingdom, him and I are going to have a discussion about the people that are in hell. Say, what, are you a respecter of person? You lied to us the whole time? Well, see, God's not a liar. So there's things we need to know, but this is what I found out. And I've learned over the years from listening to good advice from people from a scriptural standpoint, that thing is to what we can do in our part to make it easier for people to get into the kingdom. And so we need to know what to do. Some of the things we're going to talk about, some simple things from the scriptures, is one of the things we want to look at. We're going to go today. I don't want you to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Because we need to know something. If we want to reach people for Christ, especially today, with all the false grace preached and all that stuff, it messes people up of thinking how God operates and how He does things. He doesn't do it like the false grace stuff. The false grace teaching is really, it comes down to things God's in control. That's what false grace teaching really is. I don't do nothing, He does everything. Well, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work in that manner. So we need to see and find out what Scripture tells us to do is number one. I need to know what my part is, and I need to know what God's part is. See, and if I do my part, there's one thing about it. He will do His part. But you know, and together you need to understand this. He is not going to do many times His part unless we ask it. We must desire it. So you need to understand this. I don't care how much God wants to bring people into the kingdom. They don't come into the kingdom just because He wants to. We have a part. He does it. The Bible tells us things we must do. It tells us things we must ask. And if we're not doing it, then we're not doing our part. So it is things we need to know. We need to know. And if we do them, I'll guarantee you, you're doing your part and you're walking in it. God will do His part. Now in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, Paul began in the beginning of the chapter and he said, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Now Paul's ministry, he was preaching the gospel. Paul went out in his missionary journey, went out to among the Gentiles and preached Christ to them. That was his ministry. In other words, they came to salvation. He went out and preached the gospel. He said, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to everyone, every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now he makes this statement. If our gospel is veiled, who's it veiled to? Those who are perishing. So in other words, he's dealing here with the lost. In other words, the person who is not born again. He's talking to Christians about ones who the gospel is veiled to. And that was veiled to sinners. Do you know as a sinner the gospel was veiled to you? You couldn't see it. Now, it came maybe to a time, but listen to this. Now, he says in verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. King James says the God of this world or this age or this world. In other words, it's talking about this age. The Bible here, the word age or is translated world sometimes, is talking about, if you look it up, it's talking about a designated period of time is what that word means. In other words, there's an age or a time. In other words, right now in this period of time, there's an age in time where the God of this world, and that is not God. See, a lot of people say, God is in control. Well then, who's this God? There's another God here that has control over people that God don't. But see, they don't read the Bible. Tradition gets preached. What somebody else preached and said. Why? Because in this age, The fallen people who have not accepted Christ are blinded. And how are they blinded? By the god of this age. And who is that? He's Satan. The devil, Lucifer, whomever you want to call him. He has blinded people from seeing the truth. Now understand, whether you like it or not, and see, the church doesn't talk this. We say that, you know, you hear ministers, I've had this said so many times, it almost makes me want to puke. People are generally good. No, they're not. We got to stop this. See, you can't preach the true Bible to people and have Satan statements like that. You can't do it. The person who is perishing, they have a God that rules their life, and it's Satan. Our unsaved loved ones, Satan is dominating their life, and they belong to him, and he is their spiritual father. They are so good that they're going to end up in hell if they don't receive Christ. But see, if you keep looking at them like they're good and nice, you know what? You'll end up joining one of the groups that believes everybody gets to heaven, and, you know, even the atheists. But see, we preach false gospel. We need to understand this. The lost person is blinded by the god of this world, which they belong to. You and I were part of that, but when we got saved, we're no longer veiled. We belong to another kingdom. We're in the kingdom of light. They are in the kingdom of darkness. That's why it's their veil. They can't see. So they can't see. So we need to understand this condition. This is why I hear Christians all the time. They say, I just can't believe what people are doing today. Well, I don't believe the world's going to do good. I don't believe unsaved people in Washington are going to make good rules and laws. Why? They're going to make them like the god of this world. That's what they're going to do. The church has helped put a veil over people's eyes. Most Christians can't see. They have accepted the theology of the world. We'll find out one. Here he says this, whose minds the god of this age has blinded. They are blinded. Why? Their minds. In other words, you need to understand this, even about your own mind. You can become a Christian and you can put your own veil on. You will not accept anything in your heart you won't let pass through your mind. If your mind rejects something of the truth, you won't accept it into your heart. Your mind determines. Light can come to you, but you might like something else and reject. No, I don't want it to be that way. I don't want it this way. See, a Christian, number one, see, we Christians, we're in the light, but that don't mean we have to accept light, even as a Christian. See, our minds are going to govern whatever comes into our heart. The sinner's mind is blinded. He has a veil over it. See, this is one thing as we need to know. This is why we don't, you know, we look at the world and I don't have to judge the world. They're already judged. They're already blinded. They're in the darkness. The Bible says about it. See, they're already lost. We don't judge the world because they're already under judgment. They're going to face the wrath of God to come. We were all in that category. All humanity's in that category. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Well, we got saved and we got out of that. We became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we're in the light. But everybody who is not is under the wrath of God. See, we don't like to think about it. We look at people and think, well, they're the people we work around. They're just really, they're nice and they're this and they're that. You know, somebody's really nice. But if they're not born again, they're going to face the wrath of God. They are in darkness. That's where they're at. They're in dark. We're not speaking to them critically. That's just the way it is. That's the Bible. We ain't talking negative. The positive church stinks. Because the positive church has put a message out that sends people to hell without Christ. Making them feel like they are. They're okay. They're not. We must help you. That's why the law is the schoolmaster to bring people to Christ. It's to show them their condition. They need to have the veil taken off of them so they can see their condition. They can't see how ugly they are. And we said, what's wrong with them? Well, you're in the light and they're not. Wake up, space cadet. Why do we expect them to see what they can't see? Our churches today are filled with unsaved people. As far as me, I don't pay much attention when somebody says they're a Christian. I don't pay much attention to the word because it's used so, you don't even know what it means to people anymore. You know, to us, it surely means something different than it does most of them, don't it? I've heard people tell me that they're a Christian. I remember when I first got born again. I had women that I worked with at Reese Candy Company, and I first got born again, and they said they were Christians. They went to church. I got talking to them about Jesus, and they got mad at me. Well, they said they were Christians, and I asked, well, why are you a Christian? Because I believe in God. And I said, well, my words, the Muslims believe in God, so they must be Christians too. And I said, the Buddhist believes in God, so they must be Christians too. Believing in God don't make you a Christian. Amen. You get saved believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't get saved believing on God. So we need to, this is why there needs to be a clarity in the church. You know, and the more, because see, I used to wonder about those women to begin with when I realized they ain't even saved. I realized they're not even saved. They walk around Christian. They go to a church. Most people, they're nice people. Yeah. And if they're dead, they're in hell today. If they didn't change that. They went there as people saying they were Christians. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting born again gets you into heaven. See, I knew when they didn't like me talking about Jesus, I knew they didn't have the same salvation it had. I like talking about Jesus. If you don't like talking about Jesus, you definitely have a wrong spirit. That's a definite. You don't have the spirit of Christ. You can't get upset talking about Jesus and have the spirit of Christ. That don't go together. The spirit in me likes to talk about Jesus. The spirit that I have, the Holy Ghost, he's a Jesus champion. He likes him. And I'm going to tell you what, you want to get on the wrong side of it? You get over with a group that don't like Jesus and I'll tell you, he'll quit talking to you. Because the Holy Ghost will put Jesus first every time ahead of you. So you always want to get liking Jesus. When you run into people and they don't like the Jesus thing, you know, they can say anything what they want about Christianity, whatever they are, it's all a lie. The Spirit of Christ loves Jesus, hallelujah, and he takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He'll always magnify Jesus. One encounter I had back in 1989 with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit talked to me for about anywhere 20 minutes to, you know, a half an hour. He spoke to me just as clear as I'd be sitting talking with you today. So it was a really strange encounter, but he talked, but it's one thing as I learned through that experience, his dedication toward Jesus Christ. And I learned, man, don't get on the wrong side of the Holy Spirit concerning Jesus. Much of the church world today is on the wrong side. When you have a word problem, you got a Jesus problem because he is the word. See, when the word don't mean what it says anymore, there's a real problem. The Holy Ghost, you don't want him to go silent. Because going in silent don't mean he don't talk. He also will not reveal things to you in the scriptures. And you'll become very religious, reading your Bible and everything, but not getting revelation. You always honor Jesus. You know, it's one thing is I tell you what, I may mess up, but the word's right. If the word says something, I ain't gonna argue about it. I don't care if I don't like what it says or what. It's what the word says. I ain't bad mouthing about it. Why? Because I need the Holy Ghost. You can't succeed in Christianity without it. It's like the Lord told me, you don't learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. And then he told me later on, many years later, said, most of my people have amounted to nothing. See, we can live a religious life. He don't want you to live a religious life. He wants you to live a life of light and life. Hallelujah. Lit up by the Holy Ghost. That's what he wants. That's what he has for us. I'll tell you, there's not a greater treasure. You can't fail in the kingdom of God being led by the Holy Ghost. It's an impossibility. And the number one thing that he'll always do is reveal the word to you. And that's why you stay close. I never met anybody that stayed close to the word and let the Holy Ghost reveal it to them. Ever didn't. You know, they might get off course sometime, but they'll always get back on course and they'll always walk and follow Jesus. You know, you just keep, I found out, you stay close to the word, you will always keep following Christianity. I never had a problem where I wanted to go to something else. I always wanted to follow one path. Why? Because I always stayed with the word, you know. I quit the ministry about 40 times already for at least 10 minutes. And I just can't wait. But what's in me drives me. What I listen to drives me. And you fill your heart with the word of God and the Holy Ghost in there, and he'll always move you back on the path again. He'll always get you back to it. Hallelujah. You don't spend months on end over there whining about things and, oh, I'm having a hard time. The Holy Ghost in you eventually will say, shut up and get up. And act right. You know better. Yes, sir, you're right. I've had to do that already. Yes, sir, you're exactly right. I don't always get this really pleasant message. He's just so cute to me all the time. Hallelujah. He knows me. But see, the God of this world is blinding people. He said, lest the whole thing of it is the devil doesn't want the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ to shine on them. He said, who is the image of God should shine on them. The devil is blinding the people in the world. And see, we need to understand that. They're being blinded from the truth. Paul once said this in verse 5. He says, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus Christ. We don't preach ourselves. There's too many stars in the church today have made ministries to themselves and preach their gospel. The gospel that glorifies them. I'm sorry, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that glorifies Jesus. You need to understand this, but anybody operating in so-called gifts of the Spirit and it's magnifying men and blowing the horns of men, it is not the Holy Ghost. We have a lot today called prophecy, and it ain't no more than familiar spirits. It's familiar spirits blowing the horns of men. God's not blowing the horn of Trump. You don't blow the horns of men. See, Trump's a guy God wants to use. But I'm going to tell you what. It's so God can bring his plan to pass. It's not so Trump can bring his plan to pass. It's not Trump's plan. Amen. It's God's plan. And too much of the church calls themselves right. And they're more interested in Trump than they are God. Trump can't fix this. If God's ain't in it, Trump can't fix it. See, we need to get over and understand where our help is at. Our help's in the Lord, man. We need God in the middle of things. And we need to sit down and say, God, you know, all of our stuff and whatever we're doing and trying to do, it doesn't matter to a hill of beans if you ain't in it. You must be in it. You must be the... You're the one that I want. Who do you think God wants me to love first, Trump or him? Where's my love at? You know, I'm tired of hearing the Christians complain about the economy will go. I mean, this thing ain't about money, folks. This ain't about money and the economy. That's not... People are going off to hell by the droves. And the church, Christians are worried about the economy. Dear Lord, if God can't prosper, if I have to put that on the top of my list, dear God, I'll join another group. Our God's big. And we need to be able to identify the real issues of what's going on out here. See, we need to be able, we look across this nation and things have got to be a mess. And they've gotten to be a mess because there's such blindness. There's such spiritual blindness. You know, being a conservative don't mean you're a person in the light. Loads of the conservatives are in darkness. They're lost without Christ. Jesus. Jesus said this. Now, maybe he's wrong. You know, he could be wrong. You know, maybe he wasn't as perfect as he said. He said, ones that come and say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, you say, Lord, Lord. He said, I'm going to say, go away. I don't know you. They're going to have people saying Jesus is Lord. Well, I thought that's how you get saved. And he said, I'm going to say, go away. Never knew you. See, there's a lot of people, they view Christianity as a way for their own success and prosperity and all this kind of stuff. That's what they view it as. They view it as a way to just have a great life of doing things. They don't see the purpose. It's like in America. It's like our government. If you walk with government too close, you get a short view. You know, it's like them. They do nothing but make laws. You know, with, well, something's happening over here. Let's quick make a law and fix that. And then the law turns out to be nothing but a mess down the road. You know, we're going to throw another Band-Aid, the Band-Aid law. We have the Band-Aid church today. It's the same exact way. It's the idea. I'm going to tell you, money ain't going to fix everything in the church. You know, I'm one of these guys. We need all this money so we can have this great revival. I've been in great revivals where there was no money. And they had moves of God to blow your socks off. And I've been there, walked in it, in awe. Those poor dumb people didn't know that they needed a lot of money to make it happen. They didn't. They just thought they needed God. Poor, stupid idiots. Didn't know. They didn't know God didn't move, wouldn't move. They thought they had to, if I'd have had money in my pocket, we'd had a move of God. You see, those kinds of thinkings, they limit God. They limit. See, we turn the natural. We take the natural and we set it as the most important of what happens spiritually instead of what happens spiritually. See, God likes people to prosper. I believe in prosperity. But I don't believe in it like a lot of prosperity preachers preach. They're most interested is up front. By prosperity, man, what? The love of money is the root of all evil. That's something you want to make sure that you're really conscious of is about how you deal with money. It's the root of all evil to love it. And you know what? It's easy to like money. It is easy to do. Look at America. It's easy to lack money. You don't get into $30 trillion of debt not liking money a lot. Don't blame them. They lived among the people that got the same spirit. Everybody's after the money. Money is a thing you gotta learn. It is something that you need to learn spiritually how to walk around it and how to keep it in its place. So it don't dominate you, because it can affect. There are loads of people because of money are sick. There's loads of Christians sick because of money. They don't see it that way. They don't realize the importance. They don't see it. They see money as the fix-all. Well, if I have the money, I can get the right doctors. I can do this and that stuff. And the right doctor can't even fix them. Money's not the answer. See, anything somebody loves before God, you're in trouble. And it's easy to put things before God. There are people who have all kind of idols of stuff that they like more. There's stuff. Do you ever get around certain people, you know, and things in their life? There's certain things you can't touch. Man, you can't touch in their life. That is so important. They don't realize that those things. I found this out. God many times wanted to touch things that I liked a lot. See, and I didn't like that at first. I didn't like it. But I realized that I had to be able, he wasn't trying to touch them because he didn't want me to have them. He didn't want them to dominate me. He didn't want them to rule me because they will. See, we need to understand these kind of things. See, that's why it's change comes through change in the mind. If God can't change the way we think about things and let right things get into our heart. You know, in God's mind, everybody could be a trillionaire. But in the mind of people, they can't because people, if God made everybody a trillionaire, I'm going to tell you what, 99.999999% of people, you'd never see them in a church again. The Christians I'm talking about, you'd never see them. They'd be living lust of their flesh, and I'll tell you, they'd all be in Las Vegas, partying, my God. They're either there or they're over in the Riviera someplace. I'll tell you this. This isn't about God. It's about us. It's about our view and how we handle it. How it hurts us in our view. And that's why we got to get into our minds. We're really in a world, there's a blindness. But I believe there's a lot of blindness in the church when we look at the world and we consider salvation. You know, like with me, I got to keep myself where I don't hate them. You got to do that. You got to keep yourself. Many Christians have hatred for the people in the world. We have hatred for the leader. I sit around and these ministers and don't realize their own heart, their hatred toward the government. Their hatred right now toward the government. That's one thing is I really appreciated the minister there in California because of his attitude. I'm not fighting the government. He said, this is just about what the Bible says. He didn't get into all of that other junk in these people. Well, you know, the government's trying to kick us out of the church. You're dealing with the devil and you're calling it people. You're dealing with people who are blinded. You know, our governor's on the way to hell. He ain't Ed's major problem. He's just a thorn in our side. That's all that thing is over there. He's just carrying out, he's walking in his nature. And you know what? He's allowed to do it, and the authority that he has, he is allowed to have. The people gave it to him. He's not my problem. If we want to pick a person's a problem, it's everybody voting for him. They delegated him that authority. And we've all voted for people we wish we wouldn't have had done so. And we delegated them authority. We got mad at them and all the time it was our fault because we delegated them the authority to do it. But I don't like to point the finger at me. It comforts me more to yell at them. You might as well smile. You're doing it. I mean, look at this, folks. We voted for all those wonderful conservatives, didn't we? Boy, they've been great, haven't they? Oh, yeah. Five words. Yeah, praise God. See, when you get around, you know, this is why God wants to change our minds. We need the veil taken off. You know, I don't know about you. Now, our veil isn't from Satan, but it's a way we like to think. And we accept things. You know, it's no fun judging yourself. But it does need to be done. You need to view things in the right perspective. You need to be able to look at yourself. You need to judge yourself. Understand that if we want to reach the world, we can't reach them if we don't know their condition. And the Bible tells us their condition. So we can know what we're dealing with. What about this blindness? What about this thing? Well, we want to look at something. There's things that we need to know. If we go into the scriptures, we have in Matthew in two places. Now I'm going to read from Matthew 18. Because we found out this. Now, they're blinded, but there's something that we need to see and understand dealing with our authority. When Adam sinned, he turned his authority over. In fact, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in a vision about this and said that Adam rebelled against him and he turned around and gave his authority to Satan. He was in rebellion against God. See, going against God, sinning is rebellion against God. It's been a rebellion against doing what's right. And we do what's wrong. It's a rebellion. And Adam rebelled. God gave Adam another sin. God said, look, Adam, I give you authority over all my creation, all that I created here, all the fish, everything, you know, all the stuff in the air, this planet with all the trees and bushes and all this. This baby is yours. He said, I'm giving you authority over all of it. Now, see, that's hard for us to understand. Most people, and you need to check your mind how you're believing about this. Most people believe that if God gave me the authority, if I do something wrong with it, he'd take it back. He never takes it back. You know, you got saved as a Christian, and if you lose your life as a Christian in a wrong manner, God will let it work against you if it kills you. If you don't do something about it. See, you and I have an authority in this earth. We find out here in Matthew 18, in verse 18, Just think Jesus said this, "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." He went on to say, he said, "Again, I say to you that if two of you on earth agree concerning anything that they ask, it will be done of them of my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst." Now, I would really advise you to meditate on these things of what Jesus said here. Jesus is dealing with delegated authority. We need to understand this, delegated authority. He just told the disciples, this is the second time, if you go to Matthew 16, Jesus said, when Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," and Jesus said to him, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal to you this to you, but my Father which is in heaven," he said, concerning that revelation, he said the gates of hell can't prevail against it. See, Jesus is going to die and raise from the dead, and he told Peter, "I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom." See, when you got born again, you got the keys of the kingdom. Why? Because you're in the kingdom. You got the keys to the house. You know, when our kids were old enough and that stuff, we gave them the keys of the house. So they could lock, they could come and go and open. Why? They had the authority to do that, to come and go. We have been given the keys of the kingdom. In other words, the operation of the kingdom. We have been delegated authority. The keys, now that, what are the keys that we have? People go through all this stuff of what the keys are and all this. The keys are simply this. We lock heaven out or let heaven in. We let hell run or lock hell up. In this earth, we're in charge. See, that was what Adam had. Adam was in charge. He could have locked the devil out and allowed God to stay in. Instead, he locked God out and let the devil in. And know what? Adam lost the key. When he did that, the devil took the key. Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, brought the key back. And now gave us the key. He didn't get down there and have a sword fight and kill the devil. He took the key. He took the authority back. And now the authority belongs to him to give to whom he wishes. Guess who it was? It was us. It was anybody that would believe on him. Do you know who is in authority? We have the authority to lock the devil up or lock God up. Now you'll get preachers, "You can't lock God up." Well, get over it. The church has sure done it. We have locked God out on a lot of things in our nation and in our lives. We've locked God out and we've let Satan go. Why? By wrong theology. Wrong believing, following wrong stuff, and didn't realize the place that we had. You see, Satan's out here and he's blinding the people in the world. And who really has the authority here in this place? It's the church. The church is the one that has the authority. But see, we let Satan hold the key over them. But the key's been put back in the church's hand in this earth. It's not in God's hand. Jesus left the key here and he went back and he is the high priest. He's the one who represents us before God. In other words, that authority. In the presence of God, he stands as the authority for us here. He has the right to give that. He doesn't have to be here in person to make this thing work. This works because he gave us the authority. If we believe the word and act on the word, and then this wonderful Jesus turn around and ask the Father to send us the Holy Ghost to back this thing up. And I mean, we got it made in the shade, and the church is running around down here like we're trying to get something. We're trying to work things out. We're trying to... No, hold it. We're the guys in charge. We're the guys in charge. But we're not using our spiritual authority. We're trying to use our authority in the earth to get stuff. Instead of getting God's work done, God will give you all the stuff you could ever want, need, or desire. We've spent all of our time trying to use our faith to get the stuff instead of using our faith to set things in order and let God bring us the stuff. Think about the old covenant. Not even the old covenant. We talk about Jacob living under a covenant of promise. Jacob, everything he did, he got rich at. You just go out and do what God said. You just go out and do what God said. He didn't have to chase money. It done chased him down. Everything he did, he got rich at. I'll tell you, he made his daddy look like a beggar when he showed up back at home. The guy had so much. He had so much, he gave a ton away, and he's still so rich, he don't know what to do. But God's doing it. We need to get over and get into our thinking. Let's fulfill the will of God. God sent Jacob to a hard place, and what did he do to succeed? We're in a wonderful position right now. We're in a hard place. We're getting into hard, and it's going to get harder. But if you know how to handle this thing, it'll be your success. And if you don't know how to handle it, it'll be your defeat. And you can use the blessing that you have that'll make you a failure. Praise God, we ain't going to do that one, are we? No. But you and I mean, think of, that's God. Now, Jesus is God, last time I checked. Said, look, this is whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Could you imagine that heaven is sitting there, what do you want to do? Oh, and we're whining trying to get God to figure out what he wants. And God's saying, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your authority? See, this is why is getting into the Word and learning to know God and walk with God. Because I tell you, you can come to the place that you don't even know his heart. You'll know what the right thing is to do. You know. I mean, my Christian walk, when I look at where I was and where I'm at, there's a lot. I just know what I need to do. I don't have to sit around praying night or day. I know what I need to use my authority for. I know what I need to do. Now, we want to reach the lost. They need to be born again. We need to know their condition. But we need to know where we stand. See, this is how people praying for people to get saved. They don't know where their authority is when they walk in the, when they go and kneel to pray or stand to pray or walk to pray or sit to pray when they pray. They pray like a bunch of beggars. The average Christian prays like a beggar. They don't pray like they're in charge. They don't pray like they're given authority. They pray like they're trying to wring God's arm to get something. That's not what it said. Jesus said, two of you agree as to anything, I'll get in the midst of it. He didn't say, look, if you find out what I want, then I'll get in the midst of it. I'll tell you what, this is what we'll do. Can you imagine, he said to believers, if two of you get together and agree on it, I'll get in it with you. See, that sounds too good to religion. That's too good for religion. And most churches are religious. Most spirit-filled churches are religious. That sounds too good. Because, oh, well, God's in control, you know. He's sovereign. Yeah, he sovereignly said that if two of you agree on earth, that's sovereign. Did he mean it? Or was it just some nice words to pass by to make them feel good at the time, and then he left and they failed? He meant it. Think about that. Two of you agree on earth. My. The authority that's in the church. See, we can't reach the lost without walking in our authority. We need to learn and know where our authority lies to dealing with the lost. Satan is defeated, the scripture tells us. The weapons, the things that he used against man, they weren't physical weapons. The things he used, the lies that he used, and the things that he uses on people. Coming along, talking to you, making you feel like a failure, you're nothing, you know. And then you get a preacher, get up and preach. Well, we're all just sinners. Yeah, then what do? The people pray like a bunch of sinners. They don't pray like they have any authority. They pray like sinners. I was a sinner, but I'm not anymore. Oh, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, that there was considering what was mankind before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If there's nobody righteous today, then there's nobody to stand in the face of God and ask for a thing, because how do you ask? If you're not righteous, you don't have a right to ask. Righteousness gives you the right to ask. Righteousness is being right. God said, I'm right. Hallelujah. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you became right. That's why you can come boldly to the throne of grace. You could have never came boldly to the throne of grace if you don't have righteousness. You'll always come as a failure. That's why most Christians come as a failure to God. They come and they squander around the throne and, oh God, help me. And God's there, dear God, what do I got to do more to help you? I've blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places and you're a whiner. You're crying like I ain't doing anything for you. The devil throws some cold wood out there and you all roll over and whine. Instead of standing up there, hey, in the name of Jesus, I ain't putting up with COVID. No, we weren't. And then we needed a prophecy for somebody to tell us something. It didn't turn out anyhow, so we whined more. I didn't need to hear from a prophet. I heard from the book before the prophet ever spoke. And I knew my place of position. And COVID ain't getting on Ed. See, we got, I'm not under the curse. I'm under the blessing. I'm not cursed. I refuse to be cursed. I ain't just trying to make some positive confession. I'm in a place of authority that God, I could, if I will learn to speak from my place of authority. See, we're going to get people just to make confessions. Well, if you don't know your place of authority, your confession ain't going to pump much out anyhow. If you don't know you have a right to make the confession, do you have the right to make it? Do you have the place that you can make that confession? See, that's the thing that you need to know. Do I have the authority? Has God given me the authority to make that confession? Where do I stand in this covenant? Just think about it. God gave man a covenant, the New Testament, blessed us with every spiritual blessing. All that is in this new covenant would have amounted to nothing had he not made us righteous and gave us the authority and handed us the key. If he didn't hand us the key, then Jesus better get down here. Because without him, we ain't nothing but trouble. If he still has the key, we're in trouble. I want to tell you, you ain't in trouble. Hallelujah. You're not in trouble. You have the key. And he's given you the right concerning this covenant. Hallelujah. You know, in Luke 10:19, he says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." Who's your enemy? The devil. The devil, he said, he ain't going to harm you. I mean, get that out of you. I mean, we think about it. You think COVID was sent by God? I know a whole lot of Christians do. Who's part of Christianity believes God sent the devil, sent COVID? No. I'll tell you, the church sent COVID by disobedience, rebellion against God, and they opened the door for the devil to bring on our nation things. Hallelujah. It's the truth whether people want to hear it or not. People not walking in authority. God making us sick trying to teach us something. No, I want to tell you, the devil's trying to kill you. I want you to understand. He wants you to leave this earth. He don't want no Christians here. He wants to be able to destroy. He wants everybody in this place to stay in darkness. He wants to haul them all off to hell. That's what this is about. It ain't about making money. It ain't about that. The devil wants to haul as many people to hell as he can. It isn't about money. It isn't about any of the natural stuff. The bottom line is this, is who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, and the devil wants the crowd, and the church is trying everything it can to give him the crowd. Hallelujah, we ain't. But I'm going to tell you, the majority is doing everything they can. The authority that was given to us is one of the great revelations that came out of the charismatic renewal was the authority of the believer. God restored. This is why, see, when the Lord sent Kenneth Hagin into the earth and sent him in, and he said from the time of his birth, he knew in his conception, God spoke about it. But God put him here to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. The message of faith in the authority of the believer, the two major things, is to get the church ready. Why? You can't reach the church without it. I mean, the world without it, the church has to know that. The church needs to know how to walk by faith in their authority. And most of the church world knows nothing about it. Our authority is just, you know, get me healed, get me well. It's about me, get me some, get me more stuff, get me this, get me that, get me. No, it's not. It's to reach the world, the devil. The church is not ready. We need to understand this. You know, it's one of the scripture. Now it tells us, and Peter wrote, said about the farmer waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And that's a picture of God. God's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Jesus is looking for all those who are going to be brought into the kingdom. That's the holdout. The holdout ain't us getting more money so we can have a revival. What it is, there's the fruit of the earth. And how do we see it? You know, we got to come to the place, if I have money, what's the money for? So I can just have more, do more, whatever. What's it for? Is that what it is? It doesn't bring joy and peace. It doesn't bring happiness. You know, money's nice to have. Your bills are paid and things like that. But you know, if God moving in me, it's how to give more. You know, this year, Mondo and I gave a lot more this year. I mean, I just think it's been wonderful. It's like, here we are in the middle of time and they're talking, people are having bad times and we're giving more away. You know, it's just like, wow, this is working great. We can give more away and still have more. I mean, it's the craziest thing. Our bank accounts are getting bigger and we're giving more away. It's like, huh? And should I tell you what? We don't think at all anymore about getting. I don't even stop and think about, but I need to believe God for some money. It's like, you know, boy, I just got a heart. We ought to give to this, or we ought to do that, or maybe we ought to do this, or let's do that one. And Wanda's the same way. She said, I believe we ought to give some money. I think we ought to do this, or I think we ought to do that. God's working just fine. But you know what? See, we're using our authority in the earth. And see, we need to learn to do that. Because, you know, it's like, I sit and I think about it. All the struggling people are going through, and the things that they say are hard are the things that, you know, it is hard to do to go contrary to your flesh. But if you don't learn to do that, you're never going to have any peace in life. You can't have peace and letting your flesh do in the dominate. Can't do it. You get over and you let the inner man run. And let him do it. And you have peace and you have rest. And let God fulfill. Hallelujah. I've learned over the years, there's so many things God wants to do for us that if we'll follow His will, He'll take care of it for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He's given you power over, or authority over all of the enemy. Everything that the enemy's got. Glory to God. No thing will by any means hurt you. That sounds like good news. You know, Mark 16:17 says this, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, or they'll cast out demons. See, we're dealing, we have been given, we could go through other scriptures, but we could be given, you know, from the standpoint as Christians. We're looking here, the devil is blinding the people of the world. Who has the authority over the devil? The church. See, the church has the authority over the devil. We have authority over the one who is blinding the world. And what are we doing? Oh God, save Cousin Harry. Oh God, save somebody. Save. You know, I want to tell you what? If you're praying like that, stop it immediately. Jesus went to the cross and was raised from the dead to save that. That Jesus did His part. What we need to do is do our part. We need to walk in our authority. Why is this information given to us in the scriptures? If this is God takes care of everything, we have no need of this information, do we? We don't need to know who's blinding those people because we can't do nothing about it anyhow. Do you know as Christians who believe that? Well, the devil's blinded them. God's blinded them. There are Christians that actually believe God. This actually should be God. God's doing this to people. God's blinding people. They actually believe that. There are a lot of knuckleheads out there. That God's doing the blinding. Well, if God's doing the blinding, He got Himself a real, real problem. Because then He isn't really interested in the salvation of man. But God is. We'll talk about that more later on. We'll go to this. But what I want to found today is in this, is realizing we have the authority as a believer. Number one, if you're going to pray for someone who is lost, you need to begin, first of all, is to take you Instead of praying and asking God to do something, you take authority over the demonic powers that are blinding them from the truth. If you want them to hear the gospel, you got to take authority over the spirit. Praying for people who are lost without taking authority over the demonic powers that blind them is a waste of time. See, we need to understand the importance of what we do when we pray. We're dealing with people that are lost, that don't have Christ, they're not born again. We need to take authority. They are blinded, so we want them to see. First thing you must learn to do is take authority over the spirit that's blinding them. That's the God of this world. You tell the devil to get his hands off the person in the name of Jesus Christ and command him to stop. See, you have the authority. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Praying and asking God to move on that individual without you doing your part is a waste of time. It doesn't do any good, God, when you haven't done your part. See, this is the church. This is why God's in control stuff is so dangerous. But see, people like that religious stuff. They love it. Well, no matter what happens, God's in control. Yeah, God was in control. He sent that guy in that motorhome to set that bomb off. Did you know that? That was God. Oh, yeah. Well, there's loads of churches that are preaching it, I'll guarantee you. Loads of churches preach that stuff. God had a reason for doing that. I just didn't know why he didn't visit their house. The idiot. See, they say we're Christian, but they are so stupid about because they don't read the Bible. We have so much religious tradition. That's why years ago when the Lord said to me, he said, why do you believe what you believe? And when he said that, I realized he wanted me to go back and start studying in the Word the things that I say I believe. Well, I got studying the Word and found out I had some weird beliefs, according to the Bible, that I was believing things the Bible didn't say. Things that were popularly preached by Spirit-filled ministers when I found out they weren't really true, that the Word didn't say it. And sometimes they stretched things and took them really far. But, you know, and I don't think people need it, but and I used to thank God, Lord, I want to thank you for letting me listen to Kenneth Hagin and him tell us we need to go read the Bible for ourselves. I am so glad I heard that so many times. Read it for yourself. It is so easy to take what somebody says. Say, well, that's the truth. That's the truth. They said it. Well, go find out for yourself. Well, see, you need to understand, and this is enormous key, is reaching people, is that the church realizes its authority over Satan as what we can do for this nation. Now, let me just say this to you. We're looking through this thing, but I want you to understand this. And we'll talk about this more. We're going to go into some other things that the Scripture says, our part and God's part. Because there's things that we must specifically ask God that the Scriptures tell us we're supposed to. That people generally don't do when they pray for people. And this is one thing. I am so glad I don't have to come up with an idea. I don't have to come up with something. You know, the book writes it out and puts it, it's in print. And all I can read it and I can sit down and, wow, do this, don't do that. Okay. I can figure it out. And it's simple enough that I can do it, so it ain't hard, folks. It can't be hard. I can do it. So we can all do it. And this is what I want us to look at because we need to have success in this day and time. I want to see things turned around in this nation. A revival is not going to start with all blinded people. Miracles in themselves is not enough. We need to know what... I have watched people sit in front of miracles and it not move them at all. How many of you have had loved ones or people you know and there's miraculous things and they just blow it off and blow it away? Well, they're sitting in darkness. People say, I just don't get it. Read the book, you'll get it. What we want to do is remove the blinders that Satan has held these people in so they can see. And that's where our authority, you have the right over Satan. God gave it to us that we can loose people so they can see. We have that right. If they're blinded by the God of this world, I have authority in the name of Jesus. Command him to stop. Whatever I bind on earth, heaven's going to back it up. The heaven ain't going to let him get away with it. See, heaven says, we never gave heaven anything to get behind. Heaven told us specifically what to do to get heaven behind us, and we ain't done it. We'll keep praying, asking God, you do it, you do it, you do it, you do it, you do it. And God said, no, you do your part. You refuse to put up with that, and I'll refuse to put up with it. If you, as long as you'll put up with it, I'll put up with it. As long as you let it go, the heaven says, I'm letting it go. Our nation has turned into what it was because the church let it go. Man, I've done a lot of repenting for the Church of America. I've done a lot of repenting and asking God, say, God, you know, almost don't feel like sometimes I have the right to come and ask you to do the things of all the scoundrel stuff the church has done. The church has laid around, not stood in its authority, not done things. We've let it go. Lord God, forgive us. Lord, give us another shot at this thing. Please. I can't ask you because I deserve it. I'm just pleading, have mercy on us. Let us stand up again and walk in our authority. Let us stand up again. Hallelujah. I want to get Jesus in the middle of our agreements. I want to get this thing rolling back to where it's supposed to be. Let the devil carry things off as far as he did. You know, one of the things you need to understand about this, we're so busy trying to get our government officials changed. You know what? We got something in our favor. They all live off of polls, Democrats or Republicans. The polls run everything for all of them. The only guy that didn't seem to get moved by polls was Trump. And I think that's caused the anointing on him. And he'd have been like the rest of them. But I'll tell you, all the Republicans run by polls and all the Democrats run by polls. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You get the devil off the back of a lot of people, I bet some polls will change. You get people moved by the public, and it's like anything. See, the scripture tells us about the churches that are going to draw teachers to themselves. Well, if you get the church right, they'll draw good teachers to themselves. And ain't about just getting bad teachers, they'll draw good ones if you get the people right. We're always trying to just change the leadership. And we want to pray for leaders, but we live in a nation right now that even the church runs off of polls. Most of the church runs off of the popularity of what goes on. Whatever society is popular in society, the church goes on with. So what if we get the devil off the back of the people? What would happen? We could get some polls changing. I just throwing that out there to you. I mean, I didn't come up with that. That came to me about that. It was like, my God, yeah. See, God wants to move. He wants to change things. But we don't see the importance of what we do. Our authority is an incredible thing. And it's a powerful thing. And I just encourage you to realize, sit down. Don't just run out there, you know, well, devil, you stop. You meditate on these scriptures, that becomes real to you, that you can stand in that place. Going out there and mimicking what I said ain't going to produce a thing for you. It's got to be real to you. It's got to be real in you of that authority. You got to become convinced, I can do this. This is what God's calling me to do. And when I'm speaking out of a belief in my heart, not some head thing just because pastor said. You read the book for yourself. I read it to you. But you sit down and read it and read it and read over it and meditate on it until that thing gets so a hold of you that when you open your mouth, it's like a bomb going off. Hallelujah. A bomb of blessing. Glory to God. That's going to help people. See, when people start doing that, when you look at people, say, I praise, I have a right to stand. I have a covenant right by God to voice. Hallelujah. Devil, you will bow in the name of Jesus. You don't have a choice on this one. And when you're speaking from a place of authority. My authority is from heaven. It's not from some guy. I didn't have to get Congress to vote whether I could have this. God done voted and said, Ed got it. Said, you have it. You having it and you using it are two different things. It requires faith to use it. It requires faith. And this becomes real to us. And we look at the people out here in this world and say, man, they got to get set free. We got to look at them and say, they're on their way to hell. They're lost for eternity. This isn't a bad day. If they die in their condition, they're eternally lost and eternally judged. Eternally in the lake of fire. Eternally. Not a bad day, not a 5-year sentence. Eternally lost. And we look at people and we begin to see that. We begin to see. I mean, you know, these people doing stuff like our governor. You know, he goes ahead and do his thing. He doesn't realize the devil is hauling him off to hell as fast as he can. And if he don't make changes, he ain't going to have a whole lot of life left to do things. And he's going to go to a lake of fire. And that ain't the will of God. You know, I might not like his politics, but I don't want him in hell forever. You know, and we got to get down to things and look and say, man, what can I do for this man? What can I do to change these things? Now, let me, there's something I want to say to you because as we go on, I'm going to be talking next week about this and we're going to go on to some other things because if we're going to go to people about God, and let me say this to you because don't get the idea that because we take authority over Satan, over everybody, and there's things I'm going to show you and we're going to talk about that you pray over people, that the Bible said that we can do. We need to understand this. You can't make somebody come into the kingdom. But you can give a person the opportunity to see and hear the truth. That's what you want to do. See, sometimes people think that they're failures. I'm going to lose a couple incidents because, see, Lord taught me this personally about some things because I had gotten over in a couple instances. You know, you get praying for people, and I've said this, you know, over the years. You know, you get over and you're praying for a person. You want to see something change, you know, a person going through something. And one instance I had prayed for a long, long period of time concerning an individual. I was praying for them, and I could tell that the Holy Ghost wasn't hooking up with me on this. And I went back and forth. And when I finally talked to the Lord about it, you know, I don't know, I'm a little slow sometimes. Sometimes I'll just, you know, I'll just sort of push on something and push on something a lot longer than I should have before I'll stop and really talk to God about it, you know. And I asked the Lord about the individual, and the Lord said to me, you can't help them. Now this one was dealing with a Christian. The Lord said, you can't help them. And I said, what do you mean I can't help them? He said, you can't help them. He said, they know what to do and won't do it. You see, you need to understand this. When you pray by faith, you can't pray by sight. And see, people get praying by sight. They start to see, I looked at the person, and so I assume I just need to keep praying for them because it ain't worked yet. And that wasn't always going on. See, I wasn't paying attention. The Holy Ghost wasn't hooking up to me. I just left that go by. And I left it go by. Till I finally got over and I realized that the Holy Ghost isn't hooking up with me on this. See, that's why you gotta stay over the ears of the Spirit, looking at things. You can't look at the natural. See, we assume because nothing's taking place, the person don't know. See, I get praying in the areas of a sinner for God to move on a sinner. I follow these principles I'm going to teach in the Word concerning them, and I was a young Christian, and I said to the Lord, because I didn't see any change concerning the individual, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, you prayed and asked me to do it. He said, you think I didn't follow your prayer? He said, you think I didn't listen to you? And I was sort of embarrassed because I thought, yeah, that's what I am acting like here. He said, I've been moved on them, and they heard, and they won't respond to the truth. They won't respond to it. And then he told me, he said, when you ask me according to the word in faith, I always do. And this is something you need to learn. And he wants me to speak. This is by the Spirit of God. He wants you to learn this. See, many people go back and ain't praying. They ain't like fortifying or trying to throw more water on the thing. They're praying like God ain't doing nothing. It gets into unbelief. See, he stopped me in that. Because what happens is you get into unbelief on it. And now you cause problems. Because now you're praying in unbelief. You know, unbelief can open up doors to satanic powers to operate. See, Christians we don't think about a lot of stuff. We don't put much thought into things. See, when I pray and I ask God to do something, I realize, oh, He goes to work. He goes to work when I ask. He don't wait I'm on the way. I want it to go bad for 6 years now, and I'll just let it go bad. And I want them. See, most Christians, we just pray. And the whole time we're never listening on the inside about what's going on. And when we're praying, we're trying to push to make something happen. Like, well, now I just got to pray more. Maybe I can twist God's arm. Maybe if I can get him in a good lock way up here and push that arm up, then he'll say, I give it in. I'll do it. If you operate in faith and you spoke by faith, God went to work on it. And you need to pray from then on like God went to work for it, and don't go into your unbelief things and ruin everything. When you ask God to start to move on somebody and you followed what the Word said to do, you need to walk by faith that God is doing it. And if you feel led by the person to pray for him, you know what I do? I pray in tongues for him. I don't try to go to my mind about it. Because you know what your mind will go to? Back over the same thing you did before, and you'll go back and pray what you did before in unbelief like it didn't work the first time. And you'll pray, let's go pray the same thing again. Maybe we can get God to do it now. This time we'll get him to do it. And what we do, instead of praying, no, when I think about the individual, then I just pray in other tongues. I say, Lord, I don't know what's going on with the individual, but whatever you're doing, I'm just going to, Holy Ghost, you just help me pray this thing out to whatever. And then I just pray in tongues. And I don't pray in English about it unless he tells me or something comes up in my spirit to do. I don't. See, I try to stay away from my intellect. That's a good place for Ed to go, away from his intellect. I ain't got enough of that anyhow. So, and you don't either. You know, to what God knows and what you and I know, dear Lord, there ain't a smart guy in the house. I'll tell you that. Get over it. But you know what? He'll reveal to you, and he will. He'll show you. I'm just amazed over the times, though, that over time, how kind he has been to me to show me things and ministering to people. You know, you make mistakes, but I've learned from those things. Of him talk to me and show me things about it. And there's one of the things is getting over in that area of faith, of praying for people, getting in line with the Word. Number one, if you have the Word to stand on, then you have grounds of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So you know that if you've done what the Word said and you're believing what it said and you've gotten before God with it, I'll tell you, you're on solid ground. You got the house that's going to stand the storm. Your house ain't going to be washed away. See, most people are praying from a foundation of sand. They come in and they see the problems. And they're not grounded on the Word. They're grounded on the problem. They're grounded how terrible the person's acting and all that they're doing. You know, here's the thing you need to know. Many times you pray for an individual that's acting like hell. You know, they'll act more like hell. Why? Because what happens when you start, God starts dealing with their hearts and they start seeing things? Lots of people come up very uncomfortable. See, that's why you can't walk and do this thing by what you see. Most of Christianity couldn't see a revival coming to save their life, and yet they pray for one. And when a revival, they start seeing it move, they start complaining. I'm going to tell you, hell acts up a lot when revival's coming. Hell gets like crazy when revival's coming. And the church don't like that. Oh, I'm getting uncomfortable now. Oh, God, help me. God, do something. Say, yeah, he is doing something. That's why things are going like they are. Things are about ready to blow up. The devil's kingdom's uncomfortable. He's just trying to hold his ground. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians to pray. It tells you to stand and pray. In other words, you don't move. You take your place and you don't move. You stand. And it says your faith will stop every fiery dart of the devil. That's why you want to get in faith. When you pray, you want to get in faith. Because you don't want to be moved because fiery darts come. This is where most people fail. They pray and they weren't on faith and the fiery darts come and they fall every time. You get in faith. And this is what we're talking about. I'm showing you things in Scripture. You get in your place. You get there till you know the devil ain't overrunning me. This is where I'm standing. He can throw his fiery darts. They can't take me down because the storm cannot remove the one doing the Word. Can't move him. Hallelujah. That's why you get founded on the Word. See, don't rush it. Don't think, well, I just got to hurry up and pray and make this thing happen. Forget it. Get in the Word till you can stand. And it don't matter what rockets are fired. Don't matter what's going on. You're standing. And I'll tell you, when the smoke clears, you're standing. Hallelujah. And the devil ain't nowhere to be seen. You have authority over him. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, get mad at him. You're allowed to. You don't have to call him nice names. See, we're always looking for somebody to tell off. Well, you can speak like you want to the devil. God don't get upset about that. You can call him what you want. You know? I badmouth him. I do. I badmouth him about stuff. I get over and I get talking to him about things. And I laugh at him. He hates that. He hates it when you laugh at him. I tell him, say, you can't overtake me. Don't that bug you? You can't do it. You can't do it. Oh, he sputters and spits a lot, but he can't do nothing about it. Hallelujah. You can overcome. He said, you know, your faith will stop every fiery dart. It said, everything he throws at you. You know, the scripture says, he talks about fiery darts, but actually the word there is like missile. See, we think about the English did the things, but the Romans used to fire those big round balls of fire into things and stuff. What he ever throws at you, you can stand against it. See, when you're on the Word and you're standing on the Word, you're not going to get moved. Hallelujah. Look at what the Word says. Take your place of authority. Meditate on it till you're so sure of it. Then you take your place of stand on whatever it is. You know, whatever it is in your life, whether it's health or whatever it is, you take that place and you find out what the Word says, and this is what I'm standing on. God told Israel that every place that their foot stepped on was theirs. What have you stepped on lately? See, most of people are waiting for God to conquer, then I'll go step on it. That ain't how it works. Wherever I put my foot, I'm going to tell you, see, I have the authority in this earth to put my foot wherever I want to. The devil can't say, Ed, you can't put your foot there. He don't have the authority to say that. Whatever the Bible says belongs to me, I can step on it. It belongs to me. And what you do is you go step on it and say, this is mine. I ain't giving this thing up. God gave me this. Here I am. Glory to God. Take your best shot and go home, devil. Hallelujah. Take your best shot and go home. Hallelujah. It's going to be like the Cassius Clay Sonny Liston fight. One punch and Sonny Liston's gone. I don't know. This might show my age, but remember that fight? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you this about the devil. He's got talk. You got to learn to not be afraid of talk. That's what most Christians run from talk. They run from something that don't even can't hurt them. You know, no matter what the devil says, it don't matter what somebody says. You're going to have to back it up. You know, we used to talk about, you know, you had a battleship mouth and a canoe butt. Remember that those days? See, you always get the guys with the battleship mouth. That's the devil. He's the battleship mouth. Somebody's got to stay up and say, hey, hold it. We don't want to talk. I want to fight now. It's amazing how the devil flees. You know, I found out in the natural that would work. I learned to do that. People would run their mouth until you got to get tired of it, and I'd step up and say, well, then, let's go at this. It's amazing how silent people got. That's where the devil is. He's mouth. I'm going to scare you with my mouth. I don't have to yell all the time. I just have to say once by faith, and he has to obey. You don't have to keep yelling at the devil. Jesus never kept yelling at the devil. If you do it by faith. Now, if you're doing it in the natural, you'll have to yell for as much as you can, as long as you can, till you run out of mouth, and then go home. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're living in a world where people need to be able to hear and see. Hallelujah. And we have the authority, hallelujah, to let them see. We have the authority to do it. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? We have the authority. God's given it to us. Hallelujah. The devil can't keep them blind. He would like you to believe, well, they're mine. You can't have it. Too bad. Hallelujah. We have something to say about that. Father, I just want to thank you today. Lord God, I am just so grateful for all that you've done for us in Christ Jesus. Lord God, Lord God, is to think the authority that you handed into the church, it is an absolutely phenomenal thing. Lord, when I look at it in the natural, I'll be honest, Lord, I look at it, my mind almost says tilt. Lord God, how could it be that the God of heaven would take such of authority and hand it to people? And yet you've done it. And Lord God, the day that we got born again and came into the kingdom, that authority was ours. You didn't wait till we grew up. You didn't wait till say, well, when you get just to this perfect place, when you get to be such a genius and such a smart person, I will hand it to you. But Lord God, I want to thank you, which you showed me many years ago. You said, you told me, because I wondered about these things, Lord. And you said, I gave you this authority so you could grow up. Hallelujah. Because Lord God, we need it. We need it to walk in. We need it, hallelujah, to develop. We need the authority of the believer, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, because even from children, spiritual children, keeps the devil from overrunning us. And he's not done over. His kingdom cannot prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you said so, and it's so. And he will not prevail in this nation. He will not prevail in this place, hallelujah. He will not prevail. Hallelujah. The church of Jesus Christ will prevail. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Any voice that rises up in judgment, we will condemn it. Hallelujah. Lord God, we have the authority to condemn it. Oh, Father, 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 so many Christians say you'll condemn it, but no, you won't. We will. Hallelujah. You've given us authority to stand against it, and we will. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you. You've set a giant loose in the earth, and it's called the church. Hallelujah. And you've given the giant authority in the earth. And I thank you, Lord God, as we go on in teaching these things. I pray, Lord God, revelation, insight, understanding to speak, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that we all take our place. Lord God, I want to see more than I have seen. I want to know more than I have known. I want to walk in the place of glory that you've called us to fulfill your full plan, not a part of it, not some of it. Lord God, we have fulfilled some things, but we haven't fulfilled much. There's much to fulfill yet in these days and times, and we will fulfill them. Hallelujah. We will walk in the place that you have given us. We will not back up. We will continue to walk forward. Lord God, there's many places of the Spirit that we will step into in these days. We will take our ground. Hallelujah. Lord God, the Jordan can't keep us out of the land, but we've been called over the Jordan, and we will walk through the water no matter what. Hallelujah. We will cross over and take every place that belongs to the church of Jesus Christ. The glory will shine in not only in just this nation, but the nations of the earth. Glory will be shown in these last days. Hallelujah. Lord God, and you, the great farmer of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, you will return for a great harvest. Hallelujah. Of souls into the kingdom, Father God. And we thank you, Lord God. Heaven will be a place, oh Lord God, of hordes and hordes of people. Not some small little thing with only a few. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, the voices of billions and billions of billions will be heard in praise and glory to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we thank you for it, Father God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we're looking for that day, Lord Jesus, when all's fulfilled and we stand before you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I want to thank you, Father. When we step into that place, we want to hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. That we have fulfilled your plan. That we walked in what you've called us to do. And Lord God, we will do it. Hallelujah. Lord God, by your grace and your glory, Lord God, a wonderful team working together with heaven. Hallelujah. Fulfilling God's plans and purposes. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going in a direction. I tell you what, this year coming up, I just want to encourage, just keep doing the word this year coming up. Don't get over into the things of thinking of people, you know, you need something special. If God wants has something special for you, and especially, you know, I thank God, you know, he'll give general things, he'll give his prophecy, but there's things that God wants to speak to you as individual, for you. Because not all of us have the same call. Not all of us have that. We need to hear things specifically that has to do with you, where you know where you can stand or God wants you to fulfill and do. But I'll tell you what, we're moving. This is about harvest coming, getting ready and prepared for harvest. Hallelujah. You know, the fields are white to harvest. See, you might look at this nation and it looks like heathen. This is America is a missionary haven. This nation is more heathen than a lot of nations we call heathen. This is a wonderful place for God to move. This is a wonderful place. There is nothing worse than a nation that thinks they're smart intellectually. They're always the hardest to reach. That's why Europe. That's why Europe spends so much trouble. Intellectualism. United States, intellectualism. Intellectualism always pushes God out. We promoted education instead of godliness. That's right. And we got our education and we got heathenism. Amen. And the heathen, what we call the heathen, they want God. Over in Africa, the churches over there are following God closer than they do here in the United States. Why? Because they haven't got bright enough yet, they don't need God. They haven't got that smart. Well, we ain't got that smart here. We still want God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just going to stay dumb as a stick. That's what I want. I need God. I just can't see me making it without Him. Hallelujah. I just can't see me going on without Him. Hallelujah. The problems that I look at in this earth are too big for Ed. I need somebody stepping up beside me that's a lot bigger than I am. Hallelujah. I need somebody I can trust to do what I can't do. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, I know the guy I can count on. Amen. I know who will be there when I call on him. Hallelujah. Call on me and I'll answer you. Hallelujah. That's what God said. Hallelujah. Woohoo! Does it get any better than that? God said that. Hallelujah. He said this, if you seek him, you'll find him. Hallelujah. No matter how, if you look for me, you're going to find me. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on. See, it doesn't matter what's happening. No matter how bad things look like they've gotten. Hallelujah. God will come right to the middle of it. All you do is ask Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My word. I just preach me happy today. I'm just glad. I'm just a glad. Hallelujah. What a big God we have. I'll tell you, just keep magnifying. This year coming, I'll tell you, I just expect big things out of you people. I just expect God doing mighty things. I'll tell you what, we've grown up. We're getting focused. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, God is going to show himself strong. Amen. Glory to God. This year coming, there's a lot of crazy. I don't know how. People are saying all kind of crazy things out through the year and what's going to be. I don't know. This is one thing. I will walk closer with God this year. I will allow God to use me more this year. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to do the word more this year. Hallelujah. And I'm going to let God talk to me this year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're going to fulfill our part in the will of God this year. That's what we're going to do. Hallelujah. Anybody else, whatever God's tell them, wonderful. Go at it. But we're going to do our part and fulfill. And we're not going to be moved by what goes on around us. Hallelujah. We're only going to be moved by the Word of God. Amen. Glory to God. Have a glorious, glorious, you know, new year entering into it or whatever you're going to do. Hallelujah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lay back and relax. And I'm just going to, you know, before the fight, it is good to sit down and relax. And I said, you know, you can go out there and work too hard at trying to win. You know, it sort of ends up like unbelief. No, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to rest up. Hallelujah. We've been training all year. I've been training all this year, this year for the year coming up. I've been in training, and I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to throw some knockout punches. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Have a glorious, glorious week.